today on Anchored in the Word.
You realize that you've been doing things wrong, and you have this desire to do things God's way. In other words, we're talking about following Jesus, because the armies from heaven are going to be following the Lord. That's indicative of what they did when they were on the earth. Now, everybody in heaven has got it right. They're all following Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that that's what separates Christianity apart from other things, is that the desire to follow Christ, to want to follow Him, to want to fall in line with His life. It's no longer my will be done.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
I know you're with me. Lord, this is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. In the end times, a battle will be waged. Will you be on the winning or losing side? Today, Pastor Bill describes God's army, the winning side, who will triumph over evil during the final days. The people who will be in this army are those who have chosen to follow and trust in the Lord. So the question remains, what side are you on? At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's study.
You know, they're waiting for their Messiah to come back, right? There's this idea, but it's totally different. It's a whole different thing. They believe they're going to usher this thing in by doing a lot of getting the infidels in order and killing and all this. And they've got to do certain things so that way the Mahdi can come back, the idea. What's interesting to me about that whole idea is, and I don't know how it all pans out, I know there's a lot of killing involved, but what I'm saying is it's a perversion of the truth. That's the problem. You see, the devil really isn't, you know, ingenious. He just takes the truth and perverts it, twists it. And that's what you see in that belief system. Because there is going to be someone that's going to come back to earth and put things right. And it's Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that's faithful and true. You can look at Him, you can examine Him. He really walked the planet. And see what they say about Jesus Christ, by the way. And I'm not just picking on Islam. Look at Muhammad. You can look at, he was a real person too, apparently. And you can look at history, the way that he lived. There's a difference between the two. But all the other religions that aren't Christianity are not true. I'm just telling you, all of them. I just used Islam because that seems to be the hotbed of the topic that's going around these days. But every other religion that isn't Christianity is not true. Jesus said that He is the truth. And anything that doesn't line up with Him is a non-truth. He's on the horse. His name is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, He judges and He says, and He makes war. The first thing we see here in the second part is that He judges righteously. No one will be able to say, as they look at the way that Christ judged the earth, that's not right, and it be true. Because He's a righteous judge. And He's the only one in the Father, and they are one, that could really judge righteously. You're not, and neither am I. No person could do that. You got to be perfect to judge righteously. And Jesus is a righteous judge. And then it says about Him that not only does He judge righteously, but He makes war righteously. You know, there are some wars that are righteous wars. That's reality. This particular war we're going to see here is a righteous war that we see here in chapter 19. And I'm sure there are other wars that have been fought that were righteous. What's interesting to me is, and by the way, America's, I mean, we don't have it all going on, but we've been pretty decent through history, and we've done some good things. But the point I'm trying to make is some wars that at the time seemed like a righteous war, now the same people, or a lot of people, are looking back and saying, they shouldn't have done that, and they shouldn't have done this, and all this stuff. And I'm not saying that we should sit here and judge those wars now. I just find it's interesting that they were righteous at one time, and now they're not. You see, righteousness doesn't change. It's true. And I see the only way that you can know if you're ever fighting a righteous war is to ask God, right? Think about that. To get his input on the subject and be led by him, and then you could know if it was a righteous war or not. You need to pick your battles, but more than that, you need to let God pick your battles. Now, what does it say about Jesus? Verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. A couple of things about him. Boy, eyes that you can't forget, and on his head were many crowns. It spoke to who he is. I mean, his deity, we're going to see that he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These spoke to his royalty. And being on the top, you know, even in the world, don't we do that? We give people crowns, or we give them trophies, right? Because they've achieved a certain apex in life, right? And you get a crown, or you get a trophy or something like that. Acknowledgments. Well, listen, all those are well and good, but a lot of you have trophies, and where are they? You know, if you build a trophy case, who really looks in there? But you probably, right? But then you most trophies are put away in boxes and things, right? But Jesus, I mean, he's acknowledged here as he's wearing many crowns. And I want you to see he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And what I see in that is there are some things about Jesus that we're not going to understand on this side of heaven. That's all there's to it. I mean, I'm just happy that we have the Bible and there's an understanding of what's going on in the spiritual realm, and God lets us know things. But know this, there are some things that you're not going to know on this side, but he's given you enough information for you to make a choice. Some people say, well, I got to have more information before. No, you have enough information to make a choice whether you want to follow Jesus or not, whether you want to be on his team or not. But he said he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, interesting, riding a horse with a robe. I mean, that's interesting to me. But the other part is the blood that it was dipped in. Some people believe that it was Jesus' blood, the most important blood that's ever been shed. Some people believe it was the blood of his enemies. Some people believe it was the blood of the martyrs that would die. We really don't know that exactly, what blood it was, but we know that his robe was dipped in blood. I lean towards it was probably his blood, but because we got to remember the blood of Jesus. I mean, if you think about all the blood that's ever been shed, it's not that it's unimportant, but I think the most important blood that's ever been shed is Christ's blood, right? Because bloodshed in a lot of areas, it doesn't change things necessarily, but when his blood was shed, it can change things. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a living witness to his bloodshed can change things, because it changed you. And it changed me, believing in him and what he has done. Now here it says, the second part of this, and his name is called the Word of God. So though there's a name written that you can't know about him, only he knows that. But then it says that his name is the Word of God. Now, John in chapter 1 says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then verse 14 says, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The incarnation. When God became flesh, the incarnation, and when we come and celebrate Christmas time, right? And that's what it's about, when Jesus came to earth to be a person. But his name is called the Word of God. Verse 14 says, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, who is in this army? Who is in this army? I see some smiles out there. Some of you already know the answer to this, right? You're in the army. You're in the army now, right? Christ army. This is exciting. I mean, you're on the winning team for a chance, for a time, right? For finally, you know? Finally on the winning team. Boy, we had a softball team at this church, and you know, we prayed, and we had fellowship, but we were losers, man. We lost just about every game. We got this the lower tier victory of the second, you know, lower tier. We won the championship one year. The second time we did, what happened was, and God is so good to us, we had good attitudes about losing, but losing is still losing. So we won the second tier one time, and they gave us the first, the upper tier trophy by mistake. What I mean by that is they went and got it engraved, and they made a mistake at the engraving place. And I know God did that for us. Where is that trophy? I don't know where it is, but I thought, you know, guys, this is great. You know, we couldn't win any games. We were down on the lower side, but God gave us the winning trophy. Being on the winning team. All the teams that we've, sports that we have here, I know that, I'm not saying it's evil. I know it's 2 weeks in a row we talked about, you know, team sports. But the idea is, okay, they're going to come and go. I don't think we're going to be playing sports in heaven. I don't think it's going to, I know some of you are really bummed out by that right now. But don't worry, you'll be busy about other things, about worshiping the Lord. But it's important that you're on this particular winning team in chapter 19. It's very important that you're on this winning team. You're part of God's army. Because if you go up in the rapture, and if you've died in Christ before the tribulation, it says, you will be in this army. The army's in heaven. And look what they're, you think about it, you're in an army. You're going to fight the biggest battle that's ever been fought. That's what we're facing here. As we go down through this book, you're going to, these armies of the world are going to be amassed there in Israel to fight this great battle. And they're going to be armed to the teeth probably. And you're figuring, okay, it's going to be a big battle. Okay, what are we going to wear, right? What are we going to wear? Well, it says that the armies in heaven are clothed in fine linen. You're thinking, fine linen? That doesn't sound like something you'd wear when you go to war, right? Well, if you look back at the previous section, chapter 19, verse 8, and to her, the church, that is, that's what we're talking about, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. And it says, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, the saints are Christians, okay? That's who the saints are in the Bible. And so the linen that we're wearing is the righteous acts, the right living, the right behavior, and just not just knowing what's right, but doing what's right. Now, the beautiful thing about the church and being a Christian is that not only does God give you rules and regulations, because it's the word, right? We know what right and wrong is. But he empowers us by his Holy Spirit. He gives us the grace and the power to do what he calls us to do. There's no other religion like that. This is real. This is God's power working in a human being's life. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to the Christian that he could live the life that God's called him to live. Have you tapped into that Holy Spirit power yet? That would be, amen. There you go. I mean, I know we're not that acquainted with that here, but that would have been a time for one, all right? If you haven't, then don't say amen. But if you have a changed life as a Christian, I want you to know something. You're not doing that in your own strength, really. I mean, you're making decisions. It's not like you're a puppet now. But God's given you the grace, the power to do what's right. He's given you the understanding, even the desire to want that, and then the power to live that life. That separates Christianity from every other, quote, religion in the world. It's God's power working in a person. You're clothed in fine linen. So this army, I mean, it's the righteous works of, you could say, of God, because God's behind it all. They're clothed in that, and it says white linen, and clean, you know, followed him on white horses. This is an important part of being a Christian. I mean, we need to examine our lives honestly before God, before the scriptures, because if you're a Christian, if you've been a Christian for any point in time, and even when you first become one, what changes in a person's life? It's not just a prayer. The prayer is just something that you confess with your mouth, but the believing in the heart is demonstrated by the change of the person. In other words, you want to do things right. You realize that you've been doing things wrong, and you have this desire to do things God's way. In other words, We're talking about following Jesus, because the armies from heaven are going to be following the Lord. That's indicative of what they did when they were on the earth. Now, everybody in heaven has got it right. They're all following Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that that's what separates Christianity apart from other things, is that the desire to follow Christ, to want to follow him, to want to fall in line with his life. It's no longer my will be done, but his will be done now. And it says that they followed him on white horses, and I like that. I haven't ridden a horse in years. I mean, I was a kid when I rode a horse, and I liked it. Western style. I remember I got to this thing where I'd go and rent a horse and ride when I lived back in Maryland, and I just loved that. And I was, you know, I used to watch the Roy Rogers and all the Westerns, and I learned how to ride by watching TV, by watching how they did the horse. And when I got up there, I thought I knew how to ride. The horse responded to me, but I thought I knew how to ride, and so I loved it. But I haven't ridden a horse in years, probably over 40 years now. But it's not that I never will. I'm going to ride a horse again. And I'm going to ride a, I don't know that I ever had a white horse. I never got to rent a white horse. But I'm going to ride a white horse. Because Jesus' team, not only is, you know, the team color, there is, we're all riding white horses, and we're going to be on white horses. Every one of us are going to be on white horses. It says in Zechariah, 10,000 of his saints will be behind him. I mean, there's more than 10,000. There's just millions. Not just the raptured church, those that died before, that died in faith, all these people are going to be riding on white horses behind Christ. Question is your horse reserved for you, right? Which team are you on this morning? Which team do you belong to this morning? It's important that we understand that we be on the right team, that we're on the winning team. And so these followed him on white horses. Now, I want you to see something about the being in the army of the Lord. You're not going to have to do anything. You're not going to have to fire a shot. Because look what it says. Verse 15, now out of his mouth, Jesus' mouth, goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Now, that's talking about what we're going to read next in chapter 20 about the millennial kingdom. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, what we're going to see is that though you're in the army of the Lord, it seems like the most you're going to be doing is wearing your robes of righteousness and riding a horse. Jesus, with the sword in his mouth, is going to come down and have probably the biggest army, the biggest force amassed ever at all times. There's going to be a battle, and they're going to want to wage war with God, and he's going to finish the thing with just, we're going to be basically spectators. That's it. We're going to see it. And the glory of it. And we're probably going to be, of course, amazed by the things that Jesus is going to do at that time. But he's going to guys, just ride behind me. I'm going to take care of this. And he's going to go down and he's going to take care of it. Probably just a word. It says the sword of his mouth. And think about that. The truth. Think about, we had an example of this, a little example of this when Jesus walked the planet. Remember the time when they were coming to the guards, it says the Roman guards were coming to get him, and they asked him a question about who he was, and he said, disobey, are you? So I am. And when he said, I am, boom, they all fell backwards. Just the power, by him saying, I am, these guards just fell over backwards. The power of God, just by his words, a little insight to how he's going to mow down, I believe, that whole army just by his words. And so we're going to get to see that. And here's what I want to say to you is that God's word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is powerful. And in our battle, we've come to know that it's a powerful tool to us, not just to encourage us, but in the battle that we're in. God's word, we need to rely upon God's word. We're going to see the best illustration of that when we're riding on those white horses and we see Jesus just wield his word and just put that whole army to shame. Now he is, as it says in verse 16, he had a name written on his thigh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A title only for him. And there are a lot of kings that have come and gone, and there will be kings in that battle there, but it says that he is the King above all kings, and he is the Lord above all lords. That's just who he is. The question becomes then, as we talked about last week, what is he to you? I mean, is he that to you? Are you recognizing him as that in your own life today? Because that's what Christians do. They acknowledge Christ for who he really is. And we know that he's number one. And verse 17 says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun. Probably the sun coming behind him. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven. Now, when he says this, he's talking about on the earth. The birds that are flying in this, they call this one of the heavens, right? The first heavens is where the birds fly. He says, the angel's not going to talk to the birds. He's informing the birds about what's going to happen. By the way, listen up, because we're being informed at the same time. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. He's speaking to this army that's been amassed there. There's going to be a lot of death. A lot of bodies are going to die. Now, spirits continue to go on. Souls go on. But there's going to be a lot of dead bodies as a result of this battle. These people are going to die. And they're amassing the birds of prey, I mean, you know, to take care of this. And someone say, oh, that's gruesome. That's terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. Believe me. And this is not the worst of it. The birds eating their flesh. I mean, they're not that person anymore. They're dead. That's a good part of their existence there is going on. The bad part is what's to come, where the spirit goes. Let's read on. And I saw the beast, you know, the Antichrist. He's there, by the way, in that amongst those troops, probably leading them. I saw the beast, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth, all the important people at that time on the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. This is, you say on one hand, it's unbelievable. You're telling me that these people have the arrogance that they're going to fight against God? They're going to try and, yeah, that's what it says. They know who they're fighting against. It's not just Israel. Oh, they're going to be in Israel. I'm sure they're coming against Israel. But it says that they're coming against, they understand that they're coming against the one who sits on the horse. They're coming against Jesus. Crazy battle to find yourself on the other side of the God battle.
There's much more Pastor Bill would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation next time. All of Pastor Bill's messages through the Bible are available to listen to at our website, anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. While you're at the website, you can follow us on Facebook, learn more about Anchored in the Word, Calvary Chapel Coastlands, listen to more of Pastor Bill's messages, learn about other ministries as well as upcoming events and our location. That's all available at anchoredintheword.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Anchored in the Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all of you that have supported this program. If you're a first-time listener or have been listening for a while, we would love to hear from you. Your testimonies have been a great encouragement to us. If you have an encouraging testimony to share, call us at 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. Or send us an email at office@cccoastlands.org. Now please make plans to join us again for the next study through the book of Revelation with Pastor Bill, as we stay moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word. I'm anchored to